This interview was taped on July 18th, 1990 at the Seascape Bed and Breakfast on the North Shore in Grand Haven. Ruth Soul Wally was here from California for her 60th class reunion and was staying at the Seascape. The Souls owned all of the property from the channel to the city limits on the North Shore at one time. That's the purpose of the interview, because she used to summer here and then later in her life lived in Grand Haven and graduated from high school here. Later on in the interview, Peg Bidding Hutchinson came in, and you will hear her voice. The Biddings and the Souls are related, and so I guess you can say that Ruth Soul Wally and Peg Bidding Hutchinson are cousins-in-law. Julia Soul had a cottage on the North Shore, and that is where Peg Bidding Hutchinson now lives. So let's pick up the interview at this point.
Sure, sure.
Let's see what...
This, you know, I was going to check this out as we came by.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that the place or isn't it?
That's the stone house. Sure, Greystone Manor that's down here, isn't it?
The Greystone Manor.
There's a little house down in front that was called the Surf. Wasn't there a little cottage?
The Shrimp.
I don't know what they call it now.
The Shrimp.
It was called the Surf because it was right down by the water.
That's it.
But this big house, sure, was there. And then Windy Dune. Do you know Windy Dune? All right. It's this side of this house. And we went to see it. And it has gate posts out in front. And it's kind of hidden.
Right.
And it's just like it used to be. They left it like that. It belongs to... Peg knows these people very well, too.
Boschoven. Yes.
Herb Sally and Herb. All right. It belongs to them. And that was there. And this was here. How old this is, I don't know. But it was... Ever since I can remember, you know, it was here when I was 6 years old, so...
Is that the outhouse?
Oh, yeah.
I think it is.
Well, why would they have it down towards
the
beach?
I can't imagine.
I don't remember where they had their outhouse, but it sure looks like it, doesn't it?
Sure does.
But then they put this other little cottage, down in here.
Look at all those dunes.
And there was more sand, than there is now. It seems to me there's a lot more grass.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere, because we played cowboys and Indians over here in these dunes. And
what's that?
Where did you
live?
We lived in Cleveland.
Well, I mean, but where was your cottage here?
Well, Aunt Julia's cottage, where Peg is. That was where we stayed. And there was the Christmas's cottage between us and the Coast Guard, and there was another one further to the left that looked like it used to be a boat and something kind of, and I don't know who was there.
Well, now, wait a minute. That was a boat.
Was it?
That was the old May Graham.
Oh, really?
And
it was like the cabin off a boat.
That was
and
it.
They'd made
exactly.
A cottage up.
You remember that?
Yeah, I was sat up on that hill where that condo is now. Kind of.
Sure.
And now, are you the historian of the North Shore?
Or all of Grand Haven? Yes.
If you
can believe it, I was only three when I did it. I started the Historical Society here in Grand Haven.
Well, I'm sure you did. Well, good for you. All right. Well, we started coming because...
You know what they were saying about Windy Dune? Mm-hmm. That Aunt Julia owned Windy Dune. Mm-hmm. She was saying that today, that Aunt Julia owned it, and she rented it out until the 40s.
Mm. Well,
she was a teacher, wasn't she?
Yeah, she taught history in the 8th grade. In fact, when we moved here and I was in 8th grade, I had to take history from American history. She taught for years. She lived in the family home on Lafayette Street, 527. And then somewhere in the early 1900s, after her father got this mile on the beach, took over somebody's taxes that they didn't pay, and that's how he got this land. And I guess there was this little fisherman's shack on it, and she took that over and added to it, made it, you know, a little better for her.
Sure, that was.
And then she spent every summer there. And so when I was about six, we were living in Cleveland, and also the Bidding Boys were living in Cleveland. So the six of us, I had two brothers, and I was the only girl, would come on the 4th of July. We'd drive over and stay all summer, and our fathers would come in the middle of August, spend a couple of weeks, and then we'd go back Labor Day. And so we would stay mostly at the cottage. Occasionally we'd go in Sunday and go to Sunday school and have dinner at the grandparents' house or something, but we lived right in that cottage. was the Sleeping Fortune back.
That was in the 20s.
Oh, yeah. It started about 1920.
Now, there was no road out here then.
No. No road. Nothing.
Well, but then how did you get across?
We in a rowboat.
All right. Now, did you ever use the Coast Guard?
No. But we used to go over there and watch their drill. You know, they'd get down there and do their...
Sure.
See how fast they could get the oars up and, and the breeches boy, they'd shoot and everything. But somebody would drive out in a car across the river and who wanted to come over and honk us. We had a signal. And then some, we'd run down and fight over who was going to roll over and get them. And we'd pick them up and roll them back. And that's how we got our groceries and everything.
Sure.
And the only phone was at the Coast Guard station. And we didn't have, of course, lights or plumbing or anything. There was a pump at the sink. It had to be primed occasionally. And there was a wooden stove in the kitchen to cook up. And Aunt Julia, since you had to heat the water to do wash dishes, only wash dishes once a day. She was very efficient.
Uh-huh.
And so she had a dirty dish cupboard. She'd hide her dirty dishes in until she had some hot water. I thought that was very clever. But anyway, she had all of us kids there.
I've got a dirty clothes drawer. That probably works the same way.
Same idea. And my mother would stay to help with all these six kids. So, and I think it was wonderful of Aunt Julia to have six kids come and stay all summer when she taught school all winter. But this cottage, I recall, I assume it came with the land, both of those places. I don't know when they were built.
Sure.
But the Mrs. Yerkes, did you ever hear of them? They lived there at one time for a while, probably rented it.
They were involved in the
Akeley Hall, and they taught Latin. I took Cicero from one of them in high school.
Did you really?
Then I don't know how long that was, and then they lived in town. And then Windy Dune, I remember the Andrews, either owning it, the Andrews family. And their grandfather was an angel of somebody of the older generation.
Right.
And it was Angel and Soul Law Company, or Law Partners, of my grandfather.
Okay, well, the Coast Guard rented from Soul and Angel.
Is that right?
All that, from 1877. Right up until 1922, and then they bought the land.
1877?
That's Charles Angel. Or Charles Soule.
Soule and...
And I can't remember
I
what
can't
Angel
think his
was.
Name is, but then the Andrews had Windy Dune. Because I remember we rented it one summer from Cleveland, my family and some friends, and stayed at a month in Windy Dune.
Now, you know, this is shot looking toward the pier. It would seem that Windy Dune would be in there, but I don't know if it is.
Windy Dune isn't as high. I don't know. It was brown shingle at that time. Now it's gray, I guess. But it had to be. Maybe it was built later. Maybe this was built first. But this is further over. It's this, you know, Windy Dune is over a little bit.
I can determine that this was about, it would have to have been after 1907. Because the lighthouse originally was out on the end of the pier in 1905, and then they moved it back there sometime after 1905, but before 1907.
I didn't know that.
And so, just looking at it, it's sometime after 1907.
That's great. I don't know where you got this, but it's a nice
picture. I know it, and that's just a photocopy. It's down at the museum. And what I want to do is to get it out and make some copies for people, particularly the Caldwells, who now own the
That's the one
cottage.
They have now. Uh-huh. Well, we used to have house parties in it when I was in high school. I came back here in 1926. We moved back. And I went to high school here till 30 and graduated in 30. And in spring vacation, you know, a bunch of girls would get together, and we had a big house party in this one.
Oh, did you?
Had Fleet and Evans was our chaperone.
Oh, good heavens, yes.
And then later, I remember having one in Windy Dune, too, and doing the Charleston outside on the boardwalk and falling off the boardwalk. But there was a boardwalk that went from the Coast Guard station out to these cottages, and that's how you got here.
Oh.
Just boards on the sand.
Sure. Sure.
And you'd walk out that way, and you could go there.
Uh-huh.
I never remembered where their outhouse was and why they would put it out toward the view.
I can't imagine. Yeah. Usually you put it behind.
It's funny. You have to look at that. That's hysterical. We had an outhouse at Aunt Julia's cottage, of course. And
but it'd be on that side.
It was back over,
sure.
You know,
out
hidden
in the woods.
Out a little ways. Yeah, you didn't keep them right by the house.
Well, no. Heavens no.
Well, I didn't know when the Coast Guard station was built.
Let's see now, 1877 was the first one that was built in 1876.
In the same spot?
Well, a little bit upstream from the present one. Is that right?
That would be
a little bit upstream from the present one. And then when this one was built, the other one was torn down. Now, Helen B. Young, that...
I've heard that.
Okay. Now, we have a remarkable link with all of this past history in that Helen B. Young's father was a surfman back in 1871, and she's still living today.
Is that right?
And he was keeper of the station here from 1881 until 1885.
Okay.
And she can recall that. Yeah.
That's interesting. Well...
The station that you knew then,
yeah.
It could have been the very old one. You were in the if you were here in 20,
yeah.
You were here in the transition period.
You well, it was there was a, there were tracks that went down into the river and they,
yeah.
that the boats went down on.
Uh-huh.
And I have a picture of my brother diving off the pier in there.
Oh, yeah.
We dove off the pier. We learned to swim in the river. I swam across the river when I was 7. Well, they went with me in a rowboat,
sure,
but
sure.
we knew it enough to stay out of the way of the car ferries.
Yeah,
and there wasn't all this other boat traffic.
No,
you know, and there was a passenger boat, you know, that used to come in.
Uh-huh.
Peg has my my brother's baby book, in which my father tells of taking that passenger boat from Chicago and coming into the harbor and seeing them at Aunt Julia's cottage, so it had to be then, and he was born in 1911. And they said that the Captain Redner, I think his name was, signaled, you know, and they all waved and so forth, and he was bringing my brother, who was just a tiny baby.
From Chicago
to visit.
That would have been the Goodrich line.
Yeah.
Do you remember that, the Goodrich?
Virginia, I think it was.
It could have been the Virginia. That would have been 19... The Virginia was gone by 1917. Now, how does that add up?
That's fine, because in those days, then there was another one that came later. I don't know what
it
was. But what happened to the Virginia?
I don't know, but it was around from about 1911 to 1917. I don't know what happened
to it. All right, this is just a guess, but when he was in California in later years, he took a trip to Catalina, and he said that was the old Virginia that was being used going to Catalina.
It could have been.
Now, he read no, because he sailed in New Boys.
Oh, yes,
things,
right.
He grew up here, you see.
Easily could have been.
So, but I thought, oh, well, it can't be. How would it get out?
Yeah, right.
But anyway,
they put down a truck.
That's what he thought it was. And so
it could have been.
Probably went down the engine room and checked everything out. And it might very
interesting.
Well have been.
Now, let's see, the Panama Canal was completed by then. They could have gotten it through. Sure.
Yeah, I guess they probably could have. But, you know, this was in, he died about 1950.
Uh-huh.
They moved out there, in 42.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, he was in California.
Uh-huh.
But he grew up here, you know, uh-huh. in Grand Haven. And, in fact, he was born in 71. So that's surprising. I'm thinking my grandfather got married about, Aunt Mamie, the oldest, was born in 69. So he must have got married about 68. And they lived on the Spring Lake, and
uh-huh.
they had a peach farm, and
that's what
they had when my dad was born, and Mamie and my dad were born.
Now, that's the country club land.
No,
that's
something else.
That's another.
But it was on the point or something, what they call a point. Anyway, he didn't do well as a peach farmer.
Yeah.
So they moved to Grand Haven, and he started practicing his law. He had law school. He'd been to Hillsdale.
So that's the judge.
That's the judge. He went to Hillsdale College, went left and fought in the Civil War, came back and graduated,
uh-huh.
and went to Ann Arbor to get his law.
Uh-huh.
And then got married and so forth. But anyway, from then on, I think he practiced law. And they moved to Grand Haven, and then he built the house on Lafayette Street probably about 72 or 73, because it was after my father was born.
Where in Lafayette? What?
527. And it looks terrible now. They've made it into 4 apartments.
It's on the opposite side from where the Jacobsons live.
Well,
you remember the Jacobsons?
Which was the Jacobsons? Frank Harbank lived on that side.
Yep.
And Angus McPhee was right across the street.
Isn't it amazing? One side of that street is
and the ferry
gone
house
to seed.
Yeah.
The ferry house side has done very well.
But
crazy.
It makes me sick because it was a pretty house.
Yeah.
I have pictures and I've had of it with a porch, and they had flowers, and you could sit out on the porch, and there's a great arbor over the driveway. You know, it was a lovely house.
Yeah.
And it looks just awful today.
We have a 1923 map of the city. And on that map, it shows out here on the North Shore, there's no road on the North Shore. In fact, Grand Avenue isn't even in.
No, it wasn't there.
And Sheldon, there was a road that wound its way down.
But see, our farm was on the corner of Sheldon and Robbins on the southwest corner, 20 acres. That's where I lived all through high school.
Good heavens.
And I used to walk over that. I was sending the kids to the lake.
Still there.
And we went to look for it, and they're all houses now, but our old barn is still back of that house. White barn. And you
all right,
see
now,
it from Robbins.
What corner?
It's this. Oh,
there's Peg.
All right,
okay.
Tell her to come in a minute.
The opposite from the church.
Yeah,
Kitty corner.
South.
Okay.
No, on the same side. West. Southwest corner. 20 acres we had right there. Went up to the next road, and we didn't really, we had a couple of horses and cow and chickens.
But that's where you lived.
Yeah, that's where I lived. And we didn't have electricity or anything there either, because it only came out about as far as Duncan's Woods. And my dad wouldn't pay that to go all the way. He said the city would put it to the city limits, which was Robbins Street now.
Yeah.
Then we could hitch up to it. So we didn't have electricity or gas or water. We had our own well and a motor to pump it and kerosene lamps.
Oh, sure.
And all that stuff.
I remember that.
It was funny,
but
I mean, we came from Cleveland with our electrical appliances.
Oh.
We couldn't use any of them.
But it was fun for you.
Oh, we didn't mind. We loved having horses and riding them around and all this farm stuff. We didn't farm seriously.
Yeah.
My brothers milked the cows and I fed the chickens. But we went to high school from there.
Huh.
What is it? Anyway, I was going to say over here, though, there were two ponds inside the pier in front of that Judas cottage when I was little.
Okay.
And,
right. Hi, Peg. Good to see you. Fine. How are you doing?
I'm not on tape, am I?
Yes, you are. We're all on tape.
If we can be on tape, you can be on tape.
See if you remember this.
Looks like the Stone Cottage to me.
It is.
It's Caldwell's Cottage.
The Stone Cottage. Now, did you call it Stone because it was stone, or was it...
It was called that, but Andrea called it the Greystone Manor. She always put fancy names.
The Greystone Manor.
And then Windy Dune, and and the surf was a little one, and her cottage is Grand Manor.
Oh, mine. Yeah. That's
that
what we
Grand Manor.
Yeah, but she called it that.
Did she?
Oh, I thought she
Chateau did. Chateau de Julie.
Oh, yeah, Chateau de Julie. That's
blue
right.
Blue plate something.
I've forgotten about Chateau de Julie. But see,
I think this is a facing. I don't think this was solid stone. I'm not sure.
Oh,
you
okay.
Ask Bob Caldwell.
Okay. All right.
Because this is where there was a camp here, in the summer.
Camp Wahoo. Is that
I don't think it was called that. It was the summer camp for the girls at Akeley Hall.
Okay.
But whether it was called Wahoo or not, I don't know, or whether that's a Caldwell name. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then Windy Dune. Is Windy Dune in here? I don't know.
We can't see it.
It should be, but
it
should be, unless it's...
Universals.
I think it's about the same age. At least I remember both of them.
Yeah, it seems as though it should be there, but I couldn't find... Although
well,
I did...
What's this? Isn't that a building right there?
Well,
what's that?
Yeah, I think you're right. Now I can't see without
here.
My glasses.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. That looks like dune. But
it's not that far.
No, it's not
it's
too
not
far.
Far.
You could go find it. You could find it.
It's
right, like over here. So
there's only one lot. There's just the Robinson lot between Windy Dune and
really?
The Stone Cottage.
They're not right next to each other, but they were.
There's
not
a 100-foot lot.
This man
is
here
this
first.
Windy Dune.
No,
it isn't. You think that's the Greystone Cottage?
No, it isn't.
See now, what I'm thinking is that the same as that? If it isn't, then maybe what they've done is to maybe.
Yeah, that doesn't look right. Does it?
Mm-hmm. No, the slope of the roof isn't right.
Mm. You'll have to go look at Windy Dune and see what you think, but I don't think so.
The Boschovans aren't there, I know, because they went into town today.
Oh, okay.
Yesterday, but they wouldn't mind you looking around.
Okay.
And when we went down the road, we couldn't find them. We get down those two stone
pillars that are almost overgrown with grass, but they're old.
Stone pillars in the driveway takes you right
and the grass.
It sits right down in there.
It's kind of hidden.
Well, both the Stone Cottage and Windy Dune were both far back from the water.
Yeah.
Of course, they were very smart then because they realized the changes of the water levels, where the more recent builders have not been that smart.
Put it right out there.
And this is what happens.
Sure.
Of course, there's been nothing except now with the dune what is it, the Dune...
The Dune Act.
The Dune Act.
Public Act 222. Right. Now, if you own a sand dune, they consider the primary dune the top of that sand dune, and you can build 65 feet from the sand dune. That puts you down here. So you can build a home and never see the lake, but still own the lake property. And that's what they've had to do to preserve
to
the
keep it from...
Yeah, right.
Because well, all these along here built just as close as they could to the water. I want to be near the water. And, of course, when the water's high, then
I know, when the water came up there, that it wasn't that funny, was it?
I was telling you, this 1923 map shows out on the North Shore here, all the way from the pier, and what I can tell, it goes all the way to the city limit. Mm-hmm. It says Seoul.
Oh, is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, how far, where was the city
limits? The city limits is 2 miles from here.
Because we always heard just that it was just a mile of the beach, but there was nothing up there, so no,
we never
really
debate.
Didn't make any difference. It really was nothing. And
I think it went to the city limits.
Yeah, well, it might have.
Yeah.
I don't know. And
it
I don't
went
know
up
when.
The river to the Sankey cottage.
Now, which, where,
oh,
that was
I
the,
didn't
where was
know
that?
That's up to the Captain Cove condominium.
Is oh, okay.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he transferred. I was just looking at the deed we have yesterday that starts in 1839 when McCausland bought the land from the estate 2 years after the Northwest Territory was formed. Bought it from the United States. And that deed carries it pretty well through. I was looking at it yesterday afternoon, reading it quite carefully. Well, those deeds are not easy to read.
Was Rick Robinson involved with this side of the river?
I don't think
you
so.
Didn't see his name.
I don't know. I don't know whether there's any proof of that he was here or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
He was, I would think, but probably just the south side.
One of the great shipwrecks that you have right,
right
here,
here
in your front yard right here, the second shipwreck was the Andrew with a load of booze coming into Rick Robinson.
Right.
He was a fur trader, and it went aground, and he took all the booze off and buried it right in front here, and no one has ever found it.
Bob Caldwell thought he had one, but his kids teased him and said, oh, they brought an empty bottle that they found out. Oh, here's, it was the Andaste, not the Andrew.
The
Andaste.
Yeah. Oh, that was 29, yeah.
And I'm sure that's the right name for it, the Andaste.
Yeah, oh, yes, that was construction aggregate. 25 men, never heard from.
Really?
And
what year was that?
1929.
Yeah.
But Rick Robinson wasn't around then.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, he long gone.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah.
He came in the early 1800s.
See, he owned all of the, he had a patent to all of the land at the mouth of the Grand River in 1833. And so that's why I wondered if his name popped up, because any deed in Grand Haven, if you trace it back far enough, there's Rick Robinson.
Is that
because
right?
He owned it all.
Well, he was the first settler and he said,
right.
Well, I claim everything.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, I didn't know all that. You see, you know.
Well, I don't know. I've gotten this from Bill Bidding, and you
yes.
know, through the years, and the Andaste was always something that,
that was,
talked about, and when, you know, even when my kids were little, he'd say, "We're not dig deep. You might find something from the Andaste." You know?
Yeah, because they'd better get a bunch of kids out there. They'd love to.
Yeah, yeah.
There were 25 men. They never heard from them.
That's right.
They just, the ship went down, and everybody that floated in came in on this side of the pier because it sank between here and Holland out there someplace, with the exception of one fella whose name was Fred Nienhaus, whose parents owned a farm up at in the Ferrysburg area somewhere along here, and his body drifted ashore right at the farm.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, true.
Isn't that I wonder about that. Was Dan Pett's father on that? He lost his
Dart
father.
Pett. Dart,
yeah,
Dart,
that's
Dart Pett's father.
Yeah,
I don't know. He was a ship captain,
but I don't
I
remember
don't.
Whether that was the ship. But they did lose him every once in a while.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I said, I have snapshot of the time the three car ferries got stuck in the ice out here. You know, and that I think was 28 or 20. I was in high school. And we all cut class to go see it naturally, and got in trouble. So, and I do have a snapshot. But in the historical museum, they have a picture of two car ferries and a passenger boat stuck, and they said 1918 maybe. And I I didn't
they
know.
Were stuck
that,
from
that
time to time. Oh yeah,
they
it was
have
periodically.
They
were
all that ice and snow.
Sure. Yeah.
But I remember, you know, so I can pretty well date it. It had to be while we were in high school, so it was in the late 20s.
Yeah.
Paul Johnson, you know Paul, of course, and you know Paul.
Yeah.
He still tells, and Al Jacobson backs him up on it, that when the high school was at Central School, used to be the high school.
The high school, the original.
And,
it was on Fifth.
Yes, right.
No, Seventh.
Well,
the high school,
but then,
it was on Seventh.
It's right between them, probably like Sixth Street was where the high
But before that,
was.
Central School was the high school.
Yeah.
Now, let's see,
would
Paul would have gone. Anyway, he can remember Julia Soule was the person that stood there.
The top of the stairs.
You've heard that story.
Oh, we all know that.
Okay.
She stood there, and believe me, everybody behaved.
Absolutely.
And, it was like three or four stories up. It was terrible, those stairways, wooden stairways that went down and down and down. And the eighth grade and all was up on the top.
Yeah, okay.
Because I went there for a few months.
For Bill Dane, graduated, Jack Riker.
But no, then we had the new high school.
We had the fire later.
The new high school was back of that. This was the old building where the junior high was.
And you went there?
Well, eighth grade, junior high. See, we came here in like May or March or something, and I went till June in that old building. And then we went to the high school, which a new building right on 7th, and that was
And they've kept the bell. From the old school.
Yes.
That's what's in at Central School
right
now.
Yeah.
Right.
My
now Central School.
Yes.
Where my grandson goes.
Is that right? Okay. Oh, sure. Linda's
son.
They don't have that same building.
They have a new new building.
Oh, yes.
My father had gone there to school, and one of his teachers was Miss Spelder, and she was still there teaching when I came.
Mm-hmm.
And now that was amazing. God, is she old?
A generation like.
I mean, we thought she must be 100 years old at that rate. Well, my father was 42 when I was born. He wasn't like it was a short generation.
Yeah.
And she was still teaching.
Good heavens.
But Aunt Julia was a good teacher,
She must have been.
And she taught us all the time around the cottage. She was quoting poems or telling us things.
Mm-hmm. She never taught you.
Yes, very much. But she was wonderful to have our six kids there. But she did run, every time we went up to the cottage, there was a wood pile down there, and you took a little piece of wood. And that way it gradually got up to be used in the stove, you see. I mean, no point in everybody working at it, but naturally every time we ran up, we were to bring that piece of wood. It worked fine. We thought, gee, is she a slave?
Another thing I saw in the deed was about the highway. Are you sure it was 28, because there was a deed showing a quitclaim deed with B.P. Sherwood, Julian Hatton, to the highway department.
Okay.
What?
1930.
Oh, I see.
Now,
there are two. There's one in 29 and one in 30. Hmm. And that's what I'm puzzled about, the 28. I don't know.
I don't know for sure. I've got some snapshots at home, and I think there's a date on it. And I'll look.
Yeah, that was
the new road when it was first being built or built, or just a strip of it, you know. So I'll see what it says, too, and let you know.
There's a fellow in Ferrisburg who worked down the road, and his name is Bramer, Bill Bramer.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to him.
Yeah.
And he's the one that claims that they built a railroad right next to the road and brought the concrete out that way. Now, Jim Binning said, no way. He said, I remember them building that road, and they didn't have a railroad there. He said they did lay down railroad ties next to the highway so people could have a place to park, but he doesn't remember a railroad ever being built or any kind of a rail system to get the concrete out here.
At that time, that was... Yeah, Depression.
It was just before the Depression.
Well, if it was 28, it would be.
Yeah.
If it was later, then I don't know. That's...
Yeah.
I don't either. I'll see if I can check. But I don't remember any railroad either. But then I wasn't interested terribly in the construction.
Oh, sure. No, but Jim would have been. Sure.
And he was here in the summer. Because once we moved here, we weren't here in the summer much. And we'd come over to see him. But we lived in town, so we went to that beach. So it wasn't over here as much.
Mm-hmm.
The boys were, the Binning boys were here, right?
Would come up from Cleveland or Toledo.
Well, and then they moved here and lived
in 31.
Here. And so they were really
over
on the North Shore.
Mother.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was 31. So.
And they lived with Aunt Julia at 527. Yeah.
Well, they did.
Yeah. Well, their mother died in 31, and they moved, the three boys came and stayed. But the oldest, George, he just graduated from high school, so he went to Evanston and started at Northwestern, but the two younger ones, they were here.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
They came and lived with the family of Aunt Julia.
And Julia had never married?
No. And Aunt Mary had never either. Mm-hmm. And Aunt Mamie, who was the organist and choir director at St. John's Episcopal for 40 years.
And she was a soul also?
Yes.
And she's the oldest.
Uh-huh.
So the two sisters had never, that been married. And the youngest sister was the Bitty boy's mother.
Uh-huh.
And my father was the oldest boy. And then there's Faye Soule, who lived in Pensacola. Yes. bunch of children down there. So
Lila sells wedding dresses at the historical school.
Is it?
I gave it to them about home.
Where did you come in?
I don't know how it, but I
That's one
somehow
of
or other.
Must have been there in the family home somewhere. The house burned down that they had in Chicago, and I still can hear Aunt Nemo saying, lost all my wedding silver, my wedding pictures.
Yeah, that was in River Forest.
So she didn't have her dress, and
it must have been here because it was, I don't know.
I don't know either. Anyway, anything else we can
say? No. You better run to lunch.
Well, have we learned things from you, too? I've learned all about what
you checked into. Exchanging,
Sure. It's fun.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
But this was paradise for kids because we just went out in the morning and we could do anything we wanted to play in, and the beach over here. And one time my brother set up a track beat kind of a thing. He made an oval and raced each other in a broad jump to see who could jump
the
furthest and who could race. He was always organizing some kind of a sport, and we did it down here on the sand. And whenever company came, cousins from somewhere else, Aunt Julia would organize a wiener roast. And we kids would be loaded down with baskets and sacks of stuff and carry it over, and then we'd get driftwood and build a big fire and cook our hot dogs and our marshmallows and make sticks and did it all, and it was always a big treat. But so whenever we had out-of-town guests, that was what we all, she entertained them. And see, it was fun, to entertain like that. And
speaking of driftwood, one account, in fact, a couple of accounts. One was Helen DeYoung that told me she can remember these beaches being littered with lumber that had washed off of ships. Do you remember that?
Well, I remember we never had any trouble finding stuff to build a fire. Now you'd have a hard time now.
It'd be much
something.
More difficult. Yes.
But we would. They'd send us kids go get some wood.
Mm-hmm.
We'd branch out and find some wood. And I don't remember being discovered, but it might have been after storms and things.
True. Probably. Wash right off the ship.
And then it would wash away some of it.
Billings and Betty Chalk told always how, too, they would get up at the top of the hill above the North Shore Marina between us and the North Shore and give a hoot and a holler and run down stark naked and into the
pond right over here?
Right into the pond.
They didn't. Not when I was there.
Oh, no, they were probably very good with ladies, but this was always what they loved doing.
I don't remember that pond being as big as it is now, either. I mean, it was a cove there, but we called
it dug it out.
I think they dug it out on the west side. I think it's pretty solid where on the east side, because that old house was there for so long behind the sturgeon. It was an old house in there.
Is that the log cabin that has been moved back up there?
I don't know where it is, but it was there for years. Yeah. That was the only thing that was there.
We were commenting about the old, I think it was the May Graham that was dismantled and made
that
it.
That was where the Captain Cove
was
up on that hill. Yes. I remember going up and seeing the Bosmans up there.
Mm-hmm. Bosmans.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Bosmans' parents.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Mm-hmm. Now
they had the cleaning shop right next to the armory. Across the street from the armory, where the, just behind Stacks.
Oh, yes.
All right, that's where Orlo Bosman's cleaning establishment was.
I remember the building.
They retired and they went to Arizona. I think they're both still alive. I'm not sure. But then they tried the building down to increase all that parking lot along Franklin.
Sure, yeah.
Orlo Bosman. I always thought that was quite a name.
It is quite a name. Orlo. I mean, why would you name
Orlo?
I don't know.
Did you just say, how about Snaky Emmenager and Beanie Yimps?
Were these your kids in town?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Nicknames were great, of course. Everyone had a nickname.
Beanie Yimps, Snaky Emmenager. And then there was Otto Emmenager, too. And my girls just absolutely crack up every time they hear those names.
Well,
you're waiting to go, I can see. Tell me this. The Coast Guard, did you ever, other than just going over, were they a kindly bunch or were they snarly?
They were nice when, I was saying, when Jim Bidding used to get big splinters in his feet from the wooden pier.
Pier
along there, and we would have to go over and they would pull these out for us because it was quite a kind of an operation. And he told about it, being invited over there for lunch one day and being all cleaned up and whatever. And he was just, he was the youngest of all of us,
so he
was just a little kid.
Wow.
And, but they were very friendly and nice to us. And, sure, we hung around there a lot, I think, you know.
Oh, they were very helpful all the time they were here. I can remember when the deer got in the water in the wintertime in January of 78. And we called the Coast Guard and they got a crash boat out.
Did they really?
And they kind of got up by the deer, and he was just swimming frantically up the river.
Poor thing.
And they got right along the side of him and kind of pushed him into the slip at the North Shore Marina.
Guided
and then kind of guided him over to where he could get up on sand, you know, when it was still sandy out by the, at the west end of it.
That's good.
And they've always been nice.
They've always been nice.
Kids play at the, on the ping pong table.
The summer that James's were with us with Wendy Doone, Aunt Jo had brought her niece who was in her teens.
Oh, boy.
And so a romance sprang up with one of the men in the Coast Guard. And I think he had painted a picture or something and gave it to her, and it was quite a thing. But no, they were just great to us kids. I mean, they didn't bother. You know, we didn't spend all our time there, but they never yelled at us or stern or anything.
Mm-hmm. They were just always.
In fact, we would run over and watch them have their drill.
That's very interesting.
That was
lots of fun. You got to see that.
I was telling him about the Breeches Boy and was glad to see it in the museum. That they got one and how it worked, because I was trying to explain what it was and nobody knew. You know.
Yes.
And
in front of the City Hall, we have two Lyle guns.
Oh, do you?
Yes, they're mounted right there, up the walk.
See, I didn't know they were called Lyle guns. I remember they'd shoot it off, and sometimes we'd still be gobbling our cornflakes and have to race over there to see it.
When you'd hear the gun go off.
Yeah, we knew we were late. It was 8 o'clock in the morning or something. They always did it.
And then you'd get to see them come down the...
Then we'd see them do that, and then we'd see them pick the boats into the water and put their oars up and see how fast they could do that. This is all before motor.
Oh, sure.
So,
sure.
You know, so it was always kind of exciting, something to go see.
Oh. Listen, don't let me hold you up.
Well, it's been great to talk.